My name's J.D. Lassica, and I'm talking with, what's your name?
James Jannigan.
And you're a reporter with the Trib?
Reporter at the Chicago Tribune.
Okay, what do you cover?
General assignment reporter, so I cover a little of everything.
We're going to talk about social networks and social media a little bit, so I was wondering if you could sort of give me a quick intro on what kind of social networking tools you use in your job.
Well, the Tribune has been working over the last year at strengthening its social media tools, and many of us in the paper are pretty familiar with the array of tools that are out there. It started with Facebook, and of course that became a way to get to humanize the reporters at this big institution that is the Chicago Tribune, and then it progressed quickly into seeing the value of Dig. But the problem with Dig was that while it can bring in a good number of clicks to your website, you don't know where they're from, and that may or may not have any value to your local advertisers. And then came Twitter. And Twitter has been evolving even in the last year as we've used it, and it's now something that everybody talks about. When we first started out, it was something that almost no one had heard about. But that has ended up being another useful social networking tool at engaging with the local community, both as a way to keep your finger on the pulse of the community, to look for tips in an area that you cover, or in a way to promote a story or share word of a story that you're covering.
Yeah, let me stop you there for a second. Let's go back to Facebook for a moment. So how does the Tribune use Facebook? Are reporters' profiles actually up there, or contact information, or what kind of uses are being made?
Yeah, it's not really an official thing. It was sort of an encouragement that reporters do that. And I think the early pioneers of that were enthusiastic about posting their latest stories on their Facebook page, so that in their friends' news updates, they would see this link to some story that had been done by a Tribune reporter. It had some success with one of our media columnists, Phil Rosenthal. I mean, he had quite a lot of followers and was pretty quick to just accept a lot of people who asked to friend him and follow him on Facebook. And that was intended to be a medium for it was intended originally to be a medium, I think, to try to get word out of our stories, to try to reach different audience with stories that might appeal to them. But it has evolved into a more realistic view of Facebook, which is that, you know, this is a place where you can be personable, not too personal, but personable, and have a human face.
I just typed Chicago Tribune into my Facebook feed, and so the top result is Chicago Tribune Communications, 1,533 fans. There's also one for Chicago Tribune events. So it's that top result, I guess, that's the official site. And who actually posted this? Reporters or?
Reporters will have their own individual Facebook pages, right? And then that, you know, many of them will post their stories on that, or used to at any rate.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook was also the place, I think, that Colonel Tribune got started. Colonel Tribune is this avatar for the paper. Where you have this sort of tweety, old-school home media company, perhaps more conservative in its outlook, especially editorial, than many other, you know, old gray ladies of the old media world, right? So as a way to personalize that image, and in a way poke fun at it, the social media crew invented this avatar for the Chicago Tribune that they called Colonel Tribune, which is a painting of Colonel Robert McCormick, the famed longtime publisher of the Chicago Tribune, wearing a paper hat at chicagotribune.com. And it was, sort of a comical thing, but actually Colonel Tribune has been sort of the Tribune's web evangelist into the social media community here in Chicago.
I've been following him on Twitter for some time.
Yeah, right. He's on Twitter. He was big on Facebook first.
So who, there's a real person behind this, obviously. So.
At least one, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It's mostly a person.
All right, cool. So do you have a Facebook page?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. And, all right, so let's talk about Twitter for a second. So, do you actually use Twitter on a regular basis, on a daily basis?
Yeah. Yeah, I use it regularly, if not every day. I try to provide links to some interesting stories, but I also use it, I got involved in it purely as a way to, as a general assignment reporter in Chicago, to try to just keep tabs on people that by their profiles lived in Chicago, just to see what people were talking about. It's sort of background noise, the way you would have an AM radio station going in the background, so that, if something popped out that seemed interesting, I could follow up and ask somebody what they were talking about, what's going on. And that was one useful way to get a hold of stories. And then came a hurricane that I was covering in New Orleans, Hurricane Gustav, where we hit upon the idea that it might be interesting to create a new profile on Twitter called Gustav Reporter that would seek out and link to people that were going to remain in New Orleans while there's expected Category 5 hurricane and downgraded to a Category 3, but while this expected very large hurricane was going to bury in, there were a lot of people in New Orleans who were twittering. And they were weighing whether they should stay or go. Many of them had been surprised by Hurricane Katrina, and there was real human drama going on Twitter there. So a useful exchange of information about where you could get supplies and where evacuation routes were bottled up and what were good things. And so by being a good Twitter citizen and retweeting some of those things, Gustav Reporter at Gustav Reporter ended up getting, which is me, ended up getting a surprisingly quick, large following, and as long as we were able to also provide news and kill rumors and do all of those other things in the course of reporting the story as a correspondent for the Tribune covering that news event.
So as far as your own Twitter feed, you are using this not as sort of like a traditional media distribution outlet to just blast out your reports, but also to engage your community. So can you tell us how you do that?
Yeah, it's a bit of a balancing act, and I think I'm starting to hit on a balance that I like. And it is, in some cases, certain times of the day, I will send out links that I've shortened and trimmed to breaking news stories or developing stories. There are times where the Chicago Tribune has live blogged, say the impeachment proceedings for former governor Blagojevich, where I was the reporter doing that live blog, and at every significant update, I would blast out whatever the headline for the latest development is back to the live blog, and brought a couple of hundred is not big volume, but one would think influential readers, right? In their social community, to our breaking news blog. Same thing with election night, Barack Obama. That was another thing we did, and that was that brought a lot of people that helped to bring a lot of people to ChicagoTribune.com. We had 15 million views that night, not purely because of Twitter, but because we were the big newspaper that was right here, and we were covering it like crazy. And there were just a lot of options for people to surf through if they had the Obama fever. But it was one more way to sort of reach out to people that wouldn't traditionally have a loyalty necessarily to Chicago Tribune or ChicagoTribune.com, but you could introduce them to it in the context of this story that they were interested in. They would, value sales, quality sales, and they followed us through those big stories like that. And Twitter was a pretty useful tool at engaging readers we would not normally have had.
Hey, tell me about using Twitter as a conversation tool. You're actually replying to people and having conversations with people through Twitter.
Yeah, we have regular Tribune tweet ups here in Chicago, which is a tweet up in the unlikely event that any of your listeners don't know, is where you just say, hey, we're meeting here for a beer. And your Twitter followers show up, and we'll get several dozen at any one of these things. And so many of these people that would otherwise be anonymous names behind an at symbol on Twitter are actually faces of people and human beings that I know, and offer suggestions in person, and story ideas, and people that I reach out to when I'm looking for certain kinds of things that are sources of mine now as well, and to a certain extent friends as well, and so there's a certain amount of etiquette that you employ, social etiquette you apply on these social media sites. And in Twitter, it's a conversation is a good thing, and a pleasant demeanor is a good thing, and engagement is a good thing. Negativity is not appreciated. Too much self-service is not appreciated. Mutual support is greatly appreciated. So on Twitter, I try to, when the people I'm following say interesting things, I'll try to retweet them and share them with a wider audience. When news stories of interest catch my attention, whether they're at the Chicago Tribune or not, and that's an important thing too, I'll share them with my Twitter followers.
Tell me just for a minute about how you sometimes also tweet about things that don't really have much to do with journalism, right? I'm looking at something that says...
You're looking at my profile right now.
Well, yeah, and it says you're eating at the Bocadilla de la Mancha sandwich at this eatery and having a religious conversion, which
it's
is...
a really good sandwich.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at my profile. You read what my profile, my one-line profile.
Decent Chicago sandwiches.
Chicago Tribune reporter, seeking Chicago truth in a decent sandwich.
Yep, that's a good goal.
And it's both because I like sandwiches and also because, I don't want to be a robot. You know, the Chicago Tribune can really be the imperial stormtroopers of the news world in the Midwest. It's reminding people that if you like a sandwich, that maybe you're Boba Fett with a helmet off.
It also sort of humanizes folks, right?
Right, exactly. And actually, I get a lot of recommendations of where to get a good sandwich. Nice, too. Stormtroopers gotta eat. It was a Twitter follower who gave me the idea to do that Gustav reporter thing. It was a guy at Local Celebrity. His name is John Morrison. He works at Apple. And we were at one of these Tribune tweet-ups. And I was about to, at that point, go back to Iraq, and I've covered Iraq several times in the paper, and worked in our bureau there, and I was saying, gosh, what can we do? We were new at this Twitter stuff, so what can we do? We knew, and God, if you could get, if you could live tweet from Baghdad, or wherever you can do it elsewhere in the country, if you could get Iraqis to set up Twitter accounts and live tweet their things, if you could get soldiers to do that, put all of those things onto one screen, it would provide this very tangible world to people that otherwise wouldn't be interested in old media, right? It was a pretty great idea, and that was exactly what we did at Gustav, because that was the first big news event that happened.
Right. So if Twitter were around a few years earlier, you would have been doing that from back then.
Yeah, absolutely. And, the next time I go, I'll be sure to do it. So it's pretty interesting, and it brings a very personal level to this inefficient means to this old that we do that's timeless, old and timeless thing we do, which is to have it to get and exploit access to provide a view of the world and of events that our readers would not normally have seen, but it also enables us to have a conversation with those readers about what their curiosities are and how those stories resonate with them.
Aside from sandwiches, do your readers provide any kind of tips or story ideas?
Absolutely, yeah. What's going on with this building evacuation at the Daily Center? And it turns out there was a bomb threat in the courthouse. Hey, word is that there's a meeting at the Alderman's office that's going to reopen this neighborhood theater that everybody loves to hear live music at, those were things that popped up on Twitter. a couple of other developing things. You know, I use it to reach out for people. You know, if you're a general assignment reporter who's doing one of those deadline stories where you have to find the impossible to find source, wouldn't it be great if you could find in a story of a snowstorm, an epic snowstorm in Chicago that has gridlocked all of the roads, somebody who is stuck in their car, and call them and ask about their experiences, and it enabled us. You could go on to search.twitter.com and type in the word snowstorm and stuck within a 15-mile radius of Chicago, get any number of people who were stuck in their cars and their iPhones, twittering about how they were stuck in their cars on the roads of Chicago.
How do you narrow it down to a geolocation?
If you go on to search.twitter.com, go to advanced search. I've got one up right now. I'm looking for results from Wrigley near Chicago. So you go to advanced search. You go to search.twitter.com, and there's a little link there that says advanced search. You type in the search words. The first thing is words, people, places. You can look for specific people. You can cyber stalk, or you can search for words like I'm looking for Wrigley Field, place within 15 miles of Chicago. Hit search, and you get a number of tweets that emanated from within 15 miles of Chicago, where I am, and there are a bunch of people talking about, gratefully, a story that I wrote last night, but also about, opening day coming up. But if you were a reporter doing a story about, Wrigley Field and its place in the community, this would provide you with a series of, a way to access people on the street that were near that, if you needed a shallow interview about, some or the street interview about some breaking event, this ends up being pretty useful.
Yeah, it's a great tool.
Yeah.
Do you also use Twitter? I know some reporters who use Twitter sort of ping their followers to ask, what questions would you ask of this person that I'm about to interview? Have you done that in the past?
No, I haven't done that. That would be more of a. I see that as a way to promote a story, or to sort of suggest to your followers, "Hey, stay tuned. I'm interviewing this famous person." You might get a good question. I mean, certainly, there were the YouTube debates in this last presidential election where people provided their questions, and it's a good reminder to find out what questions people have, because they're basic, obvious questions that, a lot of times journalists overthink questions. They want to go for a canna. They want to, impress. They want to incrementally advance something that they know a great deal about, and then out in the rest of the world that isn't following every incremental advance, there are more sweeping, basic, and cutting questions. It has a value for developing, the obvious good question, that a reporter might not want to, if they can only ask one or two, might not want to waste on an obvious question. They want to try to advance things with a harder question, but it can remind you that, a lot of people want more obvious questions answered.
Yes.
But while that's a good reminder, and while certainly using something like search.twitter.com, you can type in the name of your subject and see what people are talking about. It might suggest to you what people are curious about or angry about. One of the nice things about all those years of journalism school and all those years of experience in journalism and all those years of hard-earned lessons, that probably you ask questions better.
Do you use, aside from Twitter, do you use any other kind of Web 2.0 tools or any like mobile applications if you have an iPhone or
I've got an iPhone. I use Tweety.
Okay.
Yeah, I do, because it's got a camera. It's a camera that I can email the pictures to our breaking news blog, and have done that. If I just encounter some lovely little iconic Chicago moment and I take a photo of that, I might set that up as a twit pic and put that in on my Twitter profile.
How do you fit all this into your schedule?
Early mornings and late nights. I do it when I need to do it. Uh, is it, if you know, particularly since many of your listeners will probably be journalists or media
right.
people that are looking at it this way. I do it when I need to do it. It can be really useful during big breaking news events, and then I will use it very, very frequently. It's something that it's a tool in your box, and it's a worthwhile tool in your box, if for no other reason than when you're writing the snowstorm story. Even if you follow no one and have no followers but have a profile on Twitter, you can go into search.twitter.com and, you know, find the person stuck in their car in a snowstorm and send them a message and ask them to, you know, friend you and direct message you back so that you can get a phone number so that you can call them and interview them. I mean, if for no other reason, it's a way, Facebook is too, it's the phone book for people that are under 35 years old. You know, it's the way to reach people. MySpace too, for people that are under 20 years old, 25 years old. It's like the phone book, you know, I mean, you kind of have to know how to use this stuff. And it's not going away. It may change, but it may get better and more useful. But it's not going away, and that's the world that we live in, and that's a good way to do it. You know, plus there are implications for, you know, in this very fractured online, cutthroat competition of the digital media world. You know, your responsibilities as a storyteller don't end with just telling the story. I mean, you kind of have to deliver it to the audience. So this becomes a way to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Developing that audience, you know, as you well know, becomes with your 6,000 followers, becomes something. It's a garden that you tend, but it's worthwhile. But it's worthwhile if as long as you don't let it consume you and take away from the value that you add to this thing. There are a lot of voices on Twitter, but you bring expertise as a journalist in. Understanding the background of things and putting breaking news events into a context that's beyond the shallow narrative of the day, and asking questions and asking follow up questions and verifying and not having a point of view that you're wedded to, and that enables you to and all of that enables you to create this rich, well reported thing and. Without bias, that you can then share with the world, and I find that kind of stuff becomes very popular and gets passed around very rapidly because there's a lot of not as good stuff out there. People of the Chicago Tribune that are doing this now, we have it's on our website. You know, all the people that are using Twitter. In fact, I think recently they put our masthead. The editors on our masthead put their Twitter addresses on the masthead. You know, we're part of this community, and we're accountable to this community, and that's one more way. Years ago, we put our email addresses at the bottom of our story, about 10 years ago, 9 years ago, and I remember everybody thought that was the strangest thing ever. But, you know, you're accountable to your community, and by the same token, you have it in with your community. If you choose to follow that string back out into the world, and it's paid off for us here in Chicago, too.
Great stuff, James. Okay, well, thanks for your time, and good luck to you.
Hey, thanks very much. You too.